Well, you came out of California. What did you do? 1944. With your husband.
I worked at a cafe.
How long?
Oh, about a year.
Then what did you do? My grandma said you worked in a hospital.
Well, I did. I worked at Harvard General Hospital 14 years.
What were you, a nurse or what?
Custodian.
Custodian?
Mm-hmm.
You never told me what occupation did your husband have, did he have? What did your present husband, what did he do?
Oh, he worked on the farm, more or less, and saw me a job.
Your husband here?
Not this one, my first husband.
What about your second husband?
Well, my second husband was from a railroad man to working for the city of Los Angeles, and that's been lasting maybe 30 years.
You talked a lot about your grandmother, about how many kids did she have? Because she had a lot of them.
My grandmother?
Uh-huh.
My grandmother was the mother of 16 children.
16?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you, what was a typical day, excuse me, in your childhood, like just a regular day that you usually did? Regular day, you know, like go to school and then work in the field.
That's all.
It was a regular day.
Just my regular day was going to school during the summer months and the winter months we worked in the fields. We didn't have winter schools like you all have now.
What time did you have to get up in the morning? Around 7? What time?
Are you kidding?
What time?
We get up at 4 o'clock.
Every morning?
Every morning we get up at 4 o'clock. Get breakfast and everything you didn't eat like we eat now. We'd get up and cook on a wood stove. We'd have to make fires in the stove and in the fireplace to get up by the winter time. And of course when it was snowing, we parched peanuts and had to eat them.
I had a good time. You went to school and came home and worked in the field?
That's right. But we lived in the country, and we only had 3 months summer school, and that was all.
Okay. And what about your church life while you were a child? Did you go to much church?
Yes, I did. I've always attended church. My grandmother would carry us to church, only we didn't go like we go now, just all through the week. We went on Sundays, and that was about the only time that we were in church. When we get there, we stayed all day.
Could your grandmother read and write?
No.
Okay. When you got married the second time, you stayed there for a little while and came out here?
With my second husband?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, after we were married, I lived back at home 8 years after we were married, and then we came out here. I married in 36.
Did you stay in Farmersville all that time?
No, I was in Monroe, Louisiana then.
Monroe?
Mm-hmm.
My second husband?
My second husband, I was in Monroe.
And that's when you were a cook, right?
That's right.
Okay, then when you came out here, your husband was on the railroad then?
My husband was working on the railroad when he came out here, and then he started working in defense after he got out here.
In the what?
In defense plants. You know, like when the war was going on, they worked, made boats and all that kind of stuff down in San Pedro. Well, in fact, he was on Terminal Island, but still, that's all been San Pedro.
Then you came out and worked in the cafe?
Me? I worked in the cafe then, a part of the time. I started working at Harbor Hospital in 47. And I worked there until 62.
That's when you retired?
I terminated.
Not
exactly. Well, it was retiring too, but they called it terminated. Because my health started getting a little bad, and I didn't want to just stay there until I got down. So then I just terminated.
How is your daughter now?
60.
Your daughter is 60?
My daughter is 60.
Mm-hmm. Does she go to Greater Louisiana too?
No, my daughter is living in Louisiana.
Oh.
She's never been to California.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. She's married and everything too?
Yes, she's married.
How many do you have any grandchildren?
One.
Girl?
Mm-hmm. I have one granddaughter and two great-granddaughters.
Oh. You know about that?
Mm-hmm.
How come she never came out here?
My daughter,
uh-huh.
She's married and have her own home back there, and she worked all the time. And cool. Uh-huh. Someday maybe she'll make it.
Where is she living there in Louisiana? Monroe?
Huh?
Where does she live?
She lives in Monroe, Louisiana.
Okay, what's your daughter's name? I'll tell that.
My brother?
Your daughter's name?
Lois.
Lois?
Mm-hmm.
Gibson?
No.
No.
Lois Simmons, she is now. She's married.
Oh.
But she was an Ellis before she was married.
Okay. Now I don't know about your church life. Is that your big hobby?
That's my hobby.
That's a hobby.
Not the big one, but my hobby is trying to serve God.
Okay.
And going to church.
So it's all at Greater Berean?
Hmm?
How long has it been long to Greater Berean?
17 years ever since it's been established. I'm the one of the pillars of it.
Oh, yeah?
I'm the pillar of Greater Berean.
Are you in a choir and all that?
I'm in a choir.
Did you help set up the willow worker thing, too?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay. Now, you never asked me on birth control knowledge when you came out here. Did they have pills then? Birth control?
When I came out here?
Uh-huh.
Honey, I don't know, telling you the truth, because I never heard tell of birth control pills until late years back when, after I started working at the hospital, I come out hearing about birth control pills, and I started working there in 47. I never heard nothing about no birth control pills until I come to California. We didn't have them in my days.
Nothing? They didn't practice anything?
Not anything that I know anything about. I guess that's the reason they had so many children.
Okay. Now, what's your opinion on how you feel about women's lives? About equality and all that, and women's places in the home and all that?
Well, I tell you, Deborah, like it is now, I have always thought this. People say, well, a woman's place is in the home, but women have always worked. Your Bible will tell you that. You read the book of Ruth. Ruth will tell you how they gleaned in the fields. Women have always worked. It's not anything strange about a woman working. Maybe people would say, well, a woman ain't got no business going out working. But we have always worked. There's different types of work that I feel like that women shouldn't do, because I feel by them being a woman and different organs of their body will not take what a man takes, but women have always worked. Maybe somebody would say, well, I never did work.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, and knowing what I know women have always worked.
Mm-hmm. Are you speaking for black women or all women?
All women. Ain't no black women. Ain't no white women. God said, out of one blood I made all flesh. We are people.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be respected as people. Not as your color or what you are or nothing, you people. God made you, man didn't. Maybe I'm wrong, but I hope I'm not. But I see all everybody as people. I don't care what they call you, still you're people.
So that was affecting the feeling about being called black.
Me? Uh-huh. Well, I tell you what, when I don't know. I can't see that as calling you black because we are people.
But you don't have no different effect, nothing that you'd rather be called, or you don't like to be called that, or, you know, like, some people, well, my grandmother, she doesn't like to be called black, you know.
Well, I'll tell you about being called black. I kind of had we be in her corner there because we are people. We are not black. If we were black, our blood would be black. Well, why would they give your blood to who they call white? They'll give a pint of your blood just as quick to who are called white to save his life as they will to save mine. So we are just people. There is no black people. And there is no white people when it comes to humanity. We are just people.
Okay, so it doesn't affect you and it doesn't make you no difference.
It doesn't make any difference. We are just people. Now, you don't like that, do you?
Huh? Oh, I don't know.
I'm black. Now, that is an ism. We are Ethiopian people, so says the Bible, and that is the only thing I have to go by that God give me, is this right here. And what I was taught to respect this book, because it's a book among all books, and you never finish it. You finish your books in school, but you don't finish that one.
Did you raise your daughter up in a church?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. She was raised up in church. Although I don't tell you that she haven't strayed away a little bit, but she's working now hard in church. I believe that to let you, all right, maybe your mind doesn't lead you to church right now. But mother teaches you. She should teach you. Go to church and learn the way of the Lord. That's the thing about it. When you get your little peon out there, she won't have no trouble with you. You're going to come to church. I don't believe in fostering. I don't believe in fostering children. But teach them and train them. And when you teach them and train them, they may step out of line a little bit, but Deborah, they'll come back. Oh. And you don't have to scold them.
I go to church.
No, I'm not talking about you not going to church, but I'm just talking about in general, you know, about children that from their childhood days up, brought up in church. I never will forget one time, every Sunday, we would have to go to Sunday school. And I said one Sunday, we were on our way to Sunday school, and I said to my grandmother, I said, if I ever get grown, I ain't going to never go to church no more. She said to me, "Sir, you a lie, you are going, as long as I live."
You've been going ever since.
I've been going ever since. She said, "Don't ever let me hear you say that again." But as I grew, I love church. I never did. I wasn't a party girl. I didn't care anything for it. I had friends who went to parties and things, but I never cared about it.
Anything about parties and dances? And
never did care anything about it.
About boyfriends?
One at a time was enough. That's the way I was taught. One at a time was enough. So I couldn't get along with that one. Pass him on by and get me another boyfriend.
Oh, so you wasn't a player, huh?
No. And they come to the house, the old people sit right up there.
Yeah.
And they heard practically about everything you said. 9 o'clock, he better be looking up at the clock getting his cap or his hat and going home. We wasn't allowed to stay out like the girls do now until a certain wee hours, and didn't have no what they call they made their own, what you call it, curfew. Mm-hmm. The old people had their own curfew.
About 12 o'clock?
12? 9 o'clock, they had to get up and go.
What about you coming in from a party or a date?
We didn't have parties. We had maybe sometime on Saturday night, they'd have an old barn dance or something like that. But the old people were right there with you. When time come for them to come home, they'd tell you, well, children, let's go home. You had to get them going. I don't care how good the party was, that barn dance, you had to leave. Oh, we'd have fish fries on 4th of July and 19th of June and all like that.
They celebrate 19th of June in Louisiana too?
Yeah. That was what was called the colored people today.
Yeah. Same thing in my head, Texas.
Hmm?
I said the same thing in my head, Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I didn't ask you about the medicine and stuff. What'd you do when you got sick? Did they have their own remedies and stuff like that?
Yeah, they had their own remedies, going out. They had a doctor or something like that, but the doctor was just about like the midwife was, and like the mothers, picking up herbs and roots and things, taking sage and making teas, just like if you. Well, you just want it in general, don't you? Just like if your the monthly period didn't come right, they'd make ginger tea and give it to the girls, and sage tea and all of that until they got them straightened out.
Same thing with a stomach ache and all that?
Same thing, G-test on, blood draw. That's about the biggest thing that they had to give you. Some kind of old pill, they call compound pills or something like that. Wasn't no medicine like that, and we were living way out in the country. There's nothing about no hospitals or nothing. All the women had their babies at home, things like that.
About
a midwife,
huh?
Yeah, my midwife, and some of them had doctors, family doctors they called them. Maybe one doctor would be in the country, maybe he would have to go to 35 or 40 different people. No hospitals, nothing. You just had to send for the doctor. After you went so far and you couldn't do any more, then you sent for the doctor and he'd come see what he could do.
When you came out there, did you come straight to Los Angeles when you came to California?
Mm-hmm.
Came straight to LA?
Mm-hmm. They have all different from what it was when I was coming up. You don't hardly see nobody plowing in the field now like we had to do. You don't see nobody chopping cotton. You know, they have got it up so far until they got these little plows that goes in the field now that can chop and do all kinds of run by a motor. So we had to go by a mule or horse or something and fly. Milk and cows and all that kind of stuff. Shearing sheep.
Did you have cows and stuff all on there on your farm?
Oh, Lord, yes. Going out giving up the eggs from the chickens. Never bought a chicken out of a store until I come to California. Of course, when I was back there, I raised my own chickens.
This was cool when you had to farm with your first husband?
Well, yeah, I farmed with my first husband. I didn't farm with this one. Mm-hmm. But after he and I married, I was living by myself. I had a big yard of chickens because I was living where I could have chickens. I never bought no chickens till since I've been in California. I always kill my own chicken.
You killing yourself and plucking yourself?
Sure.
And wring your neck and all that stuff?
Sure. Oh. Yes, ma'am. Hmm.
never slide our hearts?
Honey, yes. Hit him in the head with an axe, kill the hole, put him in hot water, scald him, pull the hairs off of him. Kept my grandfather and we'd hang him up. You know, I never did gut a hole, but he would gut the hole. Mm-hmm. Take all that, all the inside of them out. We'd clean the chitlins, make sausage, stuff the sausage.
What about salt? Did
you make your own salt too? Yes, ma'am. I used to get so mad because I would have to pull, and we had what we call an ash hopper. And we'd get the oak ashes out of the fireplace where we would burn the oak wood and hickory wood. Mm-hmm. And had a barrel, we put it in a barrel, and had it kind of slanting like that, and the barrel slanting, we'd pour water on it, and that lye would run out of that, out of those ashes, and we'd take old dry bones and old grease where we would skim it off the dishwater. We didn't even have a sink to wash dishes in like we have now. We had dish pans, we had to go to the spring and get water. Sometimes during the summer months, the water, the well would go dry. But we always had a spring. We could go down under the hill and get water. Down under the hill to wash. And we had what we called a battling block.
What's that?
When you would wash, you would put your clothes on that block and you'd take a board and you'd battle them clothes. Loosening up the dirt in them. From that we got on a rub board. The first rub board I ever seen in my life, my grandfather made it out of a piece of board and wire.
God. So you made most of your food, I mean you made butter and all that stuff too?
Churned, yes ma'am, with milk. Set that milk up. And go to top end with milk. Bring the milk to the house and strain it through a rag. What they call a strainer. But it had a little rag up underneath that would catch everything. The milk would be just as pretty and clean. Set it up in a jar, in a churn it was called. And that milk would clever. We had a dash in there, we'd churn that milk and get that butter. Wash that butter, wash all that milk out of it. And we had what we call a butter mold. We pound that butter up. Stick it down in that wooden butter mold. We pound it up and everything. Take it and turn it down on a salt.
That was the butter.
That was the butter. It was pure butter. It's not like this that we buy. We think we get pure butter now, but we don't get pure butter. Because this what we get now is no more than the margarine now.
Tell about quilting. Your grandmother quilted and everything?
Yes.
You too?
Yes. I quilted since I've been right here.
Did you sit in a circle and stuff and quilt? Right.
We had quilting frames and long poles with holes bowed in them. And it was called quilting frames. And we had, it was four of them, and we had strings up in the house. The houses wasn't built like this. You could look out through the top of the house. The houses wasn't built like these are. With this stucco and stuff like that. I was born in a log house.
A log?
A log house.
Something like a log cabin?
Yes. They were called log houses at the end time, but it's the same thing of a log cabin.
Was it Wally's 16, Wally's kids were too? What about your grandmother's kids?
They were all born in log houses too. They didn't have no houses like they have now. We never had houses like this.
Go back to the quilting. The quilting.
Hmm?
Go back to the quilting.
We quilted. We had the what they call the joss poles up in the house, and we would tie ropes, and we would put hang these quilts put them in a frame, and we would hang these quilts. Mm-hmm. We put our cotton and everything in them. And then we would take that top and bring it over that lining and the cotton, tack it together, and we would sit down and quilt that quilt around in rows. We called it shells. We quilted it like that.
About how many worked on it at one time?
Wait, I didn't get that to you.
About how many of you worked on it at one time?
Oh, it's 4 or 5 of us could work on it at the same time. Because two could sit on this side, two could sit on the end, and like that. Sometimes it'd be 6 of us at a quilt. We'd get it out 2 or 3 hours.
And you make the whole quilt in 2 or 3 hours?
Piece the quilt. Take good time to piece the quilt. Pretty good time. Maybe we'd be piecing on a quilt maybe a week or more, 2 or 3 of us together, making blocks and things like that.
Would this be the family or like?
As a family. My grandmother raised her children, and I and her grandchild raised us together. Because I come along with her last children. And we quilted. And just like this permapress stuff you see now, you didn't see it then. We quilted our quilts. We had no blankets. We quilted our quilts, and that's what we slept under. And today, I don't like quilts as well as people think that I would, but I sure do love them. I don't like them, but I love them. I don't care for blankets. I don't like blankets.
You don't? Any electric blankets?
I never slept on an electric blanket. I don't know. I'm not afraid of them, but I don't like them. Just like a heating pad. I don't care nothing for a heating pad. I have a heating pad, but sometimes I get to hurt and I get on sometimes, but I don't care for it. All that is more than time. You won't answer in time. Way back when your mama, your grandma can't remember. I got 2 or 3 quilts in there. I quilted. Oh, it's been about 8 years, 9 years ago. My husband and I, either one, we sleep on a quilt.
You don't use blankets now?
Mm-mm. I have 2 blankets in my house, and I don't know how I come by them. Yesterday, my husband found these blankets. One of them is a electric blanket, the other one is the top that goes over the electric blanket. You know, it's 2 of them. Mm-hmm. You cover one and sleep on the other one, don't you? How do you do that thing? No, you sleep on the boulder. How do you do it? I don't know.
Usually it's only 1 electric blanket.
Oh, and you put it over you?
Yeah, you sleep under that. You sleep under the electric blanket.
Well, I got a matching set. I got the one with the wire in it, and I got one that don't have the wire, but it's a matching set. Mm-hmm. And I'll never slip on it.
Keep you warm.
It's warm under my quilt. It don't. It is. I can't remember, Beverly, a day that since I've been in California, and if I live to see this November, I'll be here 30 years. And I can't remember a day that I have ever seen it as cold here as it was in Louisiana. Because I have seen icicles hanging from the top of the house down to the ground. I've seen so much ice on trees until it would break the limbs off the trees. Snow and ice.
So this ain't nothing new, huh? California weather compared to Louisiana weather.
Well, they just don't get as cold out here. I guess it's farther west, and I guess the farther back you go this way, well, the warmer it gets, I guess. I don't know, but I have seen some tough weather out here, but not like back in Louisiana.
Well, Have you stayed in Compton all this time? Or?
No, I lived in Wilmington 7 years. Mm-hmm. And I moved from Wilmington to San Pedro. I stayed there 2 years. And then I moved here. Yeah, I've been there 20 years.
You've been in this house for 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen a lot of changes?
Well, I've been here over 20 years now because I moved here in 53, August of 53. Last year made my 20th year that I've lived right here in this house.
Guess you've seen a lot of changes on the neighborhood, huh?
Well,
the neighborhood all, was it all in the...
Well, when I moved here, this was a white era.
Mm-hmm.
When I moved here. White and Mexican. All the whites all moved out. They only have two Mexicans living here now. This girl lived next door to me, and this woman lived right here in this green, I know, in that yellow house.
Mm-hmm.
Right beside that pink, rose-colored house. Now those are the only ones that's here when I moved here.
Long time staying in one place.
Long time staying in one place.
20 years in one house, that's a long time.
That's not long. That's not a long time. It might seem like it's a long time to you. But it's no use to move. Unless you're going to bury yourself. If you can bury yourself, I say move. But if you see you can't stay there and make the best out of what you have. Well, after the corn would get dry, we'd go in the field and we would pull the corn and put it in what was called a crib. When we got ready for cornbread, if we wanted cornmeal, we would shell that corn off of the cob, just like that cob there. We would shell that corn off of that cob, put it in a bag, and carry it to a grits mill, what they call grits mill. And how that grits mill would grind it into meal. And after grinding it into meal, we'd bring it back home. And we sifted it, and it had what they call a husk. And we'd sift that and get that husk off, and we'd put that husk over there to, in one place. That was what we'd feed the hogs and chickens on.
Mm.
But the meal, we would cook that for ourselves. You would have white meal, yellow meal, just any kind of meal, whatever kind of corn it was, that's the color of the meal would come out, just like this you buy now. But it wasn't quite as fine. Hey, we had it, but we had it good though. We had it good. We didn't have to run to the store.
Sell it.
We didn't have to run to the store to every time we wanted something. Lard. We never went to the store and bought no lard. What we call shortening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but it was called lard then. We never went to the store and bought it. That was dried out of the fat from the hog when we would kill hogs.
Mm-hmm.
And honey, we had potatoes, cornbread, sawbelly, whatever you want to call it. That's meat. That's the bottom part of the hog where the titties are.
Don't say titties.
Well, but, we always had a plenty to eat. We had the cert meals where they could cook. My grandfather was a cert maker. We had the old cert meals where they would grind, take the sugar cane and put it in a grind it, and that juice would come out and run in a barrel. They'd dip that barrel out and put it over in a pan over a fire, and they cooked it into cert. And as he would push this syrup out into another container, when it would get cooked, and he would steady, let this juice run in behind it to keep from burning the pan.
That was good.
That was syrup, and it was good. We had what we call sorghum syrup. We had what we call ribbon cane syrup.
Yeah, right.
We made two kinds of syrup. Honey, I have stood up a many day and pushed cane into this syrup meal, and it would squeeze it together just as flat as your hand. Got all the juice out of it. But it was a mule on a long pole going round and round and round and round to get this old syrup meal to going. Mm-hmm. We had a good time when we was kids. Now, you all think you all had a good time, but we had a good time when we was kids. We would go out, excuse me for hitting your foot down. We would go out in the woods. We would get hickory nuts, black walnuts, we'd raise them, pears, peaches, watermelons, wasn't no end to what we raised. We didn't have to go to the store to buy nothing but maybe some flour and the first sugar that ever I see in my life, the first sugar, was brown sugar that was, after those syrups sit so long, they went to sugar. The first sugar ever I seen was brown sugar. Brown sugar was my first sugar. Mm-hmm. From that, it went on, you know, and then when that old syrup meal began to cut out, then they started to bring in white sugar, and we could buy that. I never saw flour bought in a sack for a long, long time.
How was that?
In barrels. Bought the flour in barrels. We would get a barrel of flour, and that one barrel of flour would last us a whole year because it didn't cook. Didn't use as much flour then. Usually most of the day had vegetables, as you call soul food now, but we had vegetables all through the week. Very seldom we ever cooked biscuits only on Sundays.
Like cornbread.
We made cornbread because we had vegetables all through the week. Sundays we'd have chickens and stuff like that. But now, that's a common meal with people now. That it wasn't in our time. That was our best meals.
Oh, biscuits
and stuff? That was our Sunday meals. Having biscuit, chicken, rice, syrup, cakes, and what you might call it, on Sunday.
That's your grandmother could cook, huh?
Huh?
Your grandmother could cook good, huh?
Well, my grandmother, when I got old enough to know anything, there was some of the girls that was much older than the three younger girls that were there. And my grandmother, I never seen her cook very much, no further than just cooking this soul food. Now, while we'd be in the field working, she would cook that. But so far as pastry cooking, she never did do it.
You said she had 15 children. How many girls, how many boys?
Well, wait a minute now. I can't count all of them because some of them died at childbirth.
Oh.
But now, wait a minute now. Wait now, let me count them on my finger. Mama ain't mad. Is that going to bother anything about me calling them by the name? Let's see, that was Mama, Ain't Maddie, and Missy, and Lillian, Annie, and Gordon. She had seven girls. Mm-hmm. And, but I can remember. The boys were Uncle Sid, Uncle Willie, Uncle Henry, Uncle Henry, Uncle Guy, and Praetors. And Fred. Now 13 of the children, I can remember them, but there was two I couldn't remember. There was two died, they said died of childbirth, they might have been born before I was born, but I've always heard her say she was the mother of 16 children. But 14 of them I know about, I can remember them.
Mm-hmm.